Today's daf Masechet Brachot daf Mem Zayin. Buried in the discussion on Amud Beis of who is permitted to join a zimun of three people, Rabbi Yossi quotes Rabbi Shu ben Levi as a source for his opinion based on the rules of who may be counted for a minyan, a prayer quorum of 10. Rabbi Shu ben Levi says 9 and a slave, 9 and an eved can come from the 10th man, can form the 10th man. So the Gemara asks, based on the story of Rabbi Eliezer freeing his own slave in order to make up a minyan of 10, why didn't leave him as a slave according to Rabbi Shu ben Levi? Clearly this wasn't an option. So the Gemara says that the shul and that specific story only had 8 people that showed up for the minyan. So Rabbi Eliezer freed one slave and the other remained following Rabbi Shu ben Levi, who said you can have one and nine, you have one eved and 9, but not 2. So Rabbi Eliezer went ahead and he freed one. So the Gemara asked, what about the losa say of l'olam behem tavodu? You have to keep an eved knani. An eved knani is never to be set free except for certain conditions. This week's parsha, Parsha Mishpatim, discusses, for example, the master injures the slave, then the slave is set free. But this is a Torah prohibition. It's a general Torah prohibition when it comes to a dvar mitzvah, says the Gemara. Comes a dvar mitzvah. What do you mean a dvar mitzvah? Not any mitzvah. It's mitzvah baba veri. You're doing an aver. You're setting him free. You're doing a mitzvah to do it. So when is this allowed? So the Gemara comes and says, this is allowed when people will benefit from this. When it's a mitzvah to rabbi, then it's permitted. So 3 points that we can make from Rav Kook's deep commentary in Enaya on these lines of the Gemara. One, again, relevant for the parsha this week, the whole notion of slavery and its ideal application is a gift to the world that Am Yisrael, who represent the highest moral and ethical standards, should be able to raise up the people of the world who are so low down in these areas of ethics and morality, and our role is to be metaking the world. Again, that's in the ideal case where the master is a balmidot, is a person who represents perfection of behavior and character, and that person is going to inspire, and that person is going to uplift these individuals who were never given that opportunity to be exposed to morality and ethics. That's in a life, that this is a life mission of the Jewish people and of each individual master of the Eved. That's why there's a prohibition associated, because it's a lifelong mission. The second incident of Cook makes is contrasting the employee model, the employee employer model, whereas an employer is responsible for payment, responsible to give a salary to his employee, but doesn't have to look after every single need of the employee. The employee goes home at the end of the day, he spends his money, and the employer can go to sleep at night not having to think about every single aspect of what's going on with his employee. The slave has more workers' rights in a way, the way the Torah frames it. And the employee is not being forced to work in a particular place. And they are replaceable when they get old or weak, and not so with a slave. Finally, Rav Kook writes, the prohibition of L'olam Behem Tavodu applies, in the way that Rav Kook learns it, to mitzvah derabim. He says, up until mitzvah derabim, but when there's a mitzvah derabim, when there's a benefit to the general group of people, to the klal, to the tzibur, to the congregation, to the group, to the community, there's no prohibition at all. Not even a suspension of the prohibition. This is because the whole nature of a slave is a person who's completely self-consumed, self-absorbed, and this is true not just for the Eved Knani, explains Rav Kook, but once a person has, just a regular person, a person who sees himself and only thinks about themselves, self-absorbed, once a person has raised himself to the benefit, the klal, they're no longer required to have an Eved status. Hence the rationale of Rabbi Eliezer in freeing his slave. So there's a fascinating comment to the Birka Yosef and Simon Nun Hei in discussing whether a golem, which is a man-made creature, can join a minion. He says that this golem is more animal-like than a human. And even if you wanted to say a golem has human-like tendencies, he's not Jewish. So then he quotes the story of Rabbi Eliezer, and he says, of course, Rabbi Eliezer was a master of the mystical tradition, forming letters together. This is one of the Tziruf Otiot of Hashem's name. But he didn't do this. He didn't do this in place of freeing his slave, because he held that a golem can't join a minyan. The Rosh writes in the Gemara, in our Gemara, there's a more of a halachic perspective, the way Rav Kook explained, that we see a rabbinic mitzvah, which is the mitzvah of minyan, of having a minyan, of joining together with 10 for mitzvah de rabbim, pushes away an ased yachi, pushes away an ased that the Torah says, L'olam behem tavodu. So it's not likely that this case, as the Rosh, would have specifically taken place on Shabbat Zachor, which we know is a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's probably the case, a big chiddush that the Gemara is saying, that we have this amazing opportunity to form a minyan. Anyway, Rabbi Lazar would not have been permitted to create a golem on Shabbos, even in that scenario, because of a possible isser of molid. So the lengths we see Chazal going to enable minyanim to happen, finding creative solutions to ensure the minyanim can happen, perhaps we can strengthen our commitment to support gatherings of Kiddush Hashem in our own communities.